Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Golden Goal Podcast. It's your boys, Hobby and Lee here, and it is Friday, September 27th, and the time is 7:51 with 11 seconds left, p.m. We are, apologize, we were going to do it yesterday, but I got caught up with some school stuff, coding HTML, but, you know, that's besides the point.
Fucking nerd.
But we're back here, Lee and I, drinking some brewskis. Lee, what are you drinking?
I have a craft beer that I had shipped to me through an app called Tavor. Quick plug for Tavor.
And I'm the nerd, yeah.
Okay. Unpaid advertisement for Tavor, but yeah, had it shipped to me through an app. Arrived last week, I'm giving it a go. It's pretty good, nice little lager. But it's Friday, man. It's been a good week. I'm in an extra good mood. FIFA 20 came out today. We'll be hopping on the line afterwards to really enjoy that one. And we got a lot of footage to talk about.
We do, my man. We do. We are going to talk about today. We're going to first do, games to watch for the weekend, correct?
Yeah, we're going to do it a little differently. We're actually going to start with what to watch for instead of ending.
Talk about the Mickey Mouse Cup, a.k.a. Yeah. Carabao Cup.
Whatever you want to call it. The Reserve League Cup. That seems the most of the Premier League teams use the reserves. Then we'll get into our predictions for this week 7 of the Premier League. And then we've got a few extra touches for you today. So, yeah, lots to discuss.
Well, yeah, lots to discuss, my man.
But what do you have for your what to watch for the weekend?
So maybe you had this already, Lee, but I had the Madrid Derby, Real Madrid versus Atletico Madrid. And, my reasoning for this pick is La Liga, man. It's hectic this time, to be honest with you. You know, it's not, as clear as it used to be. You know, it used to just be Barca, Real Madrid, but now you got a lot of different teams, coming into the mix. You got Atletico Madrid, Sevilla, Granada, Barca sitting under 5th place, I believe.
7th right now.
Yeah, they're sitting 7th place. So, lots of action going on, and this Madrid Derby is going to be huge to determine, you know, who's going to be leading the group, and, you know, it's still early on, but it should be a good show. Should be good fun.
Yeah, Real Madrid, 14 points, Atletico, 13. This is at the Wanda. Great stadium.
We
absolute
love that.
Absolute class stadium, just newly built, a couple of years old now. But yeah, that's going to be a really good one to watch. That is 2 p.m. Central Time tomorrow, Saturday. I'm really looking forward to this one. I'm not really doing much during the day tomorrow, so I'm hoping I can catch that one. You know, we've talked about La Liga already a couple times, but it's really pretty wide open. And Real Madrid, as much as they struggled, and even when they struggled in that Champions League game against PSG, they're sitting in first somehow.
I know, bro. It's crazy. I don't know. You know, it could be also that Barcelona's been playing real stinky. Because if Barcelona was in form or they were on it, I think Real Madrid would be struggling as well. But I'm actually surprised also, bro, because Real Madrid looked god-awful in that PSG game. But I haven't really been following them too much in the league, but I guess they've gotten results, you know, in the league so far.
Yeah, they've got two. They got two ties. Hazard, I think, is back healthy. I don't know if I believe Gareth Bale will be healthy as well. Vinicius scored his first goal of the season last week out. But yeah, they've got two ties. I believe also Marcelo and Ferland Mendy are both out with Knox, so they might be questionable for tomorrow. So that'll be interesting what they do with the left back spot there. But I kind of fancy Atletico in this one at home.
I think so too. I really like Atletico. I mean, we talked about Atletico already too. I really like this team. Diego Simeone knows how to set up his team well. You know, he emphasizes balls of steel, as you can see from his celebrations, how he grabs his nuts. Good fun. But he sets up this, I mean, like we said, he sets up his team so well defensively, and the way Atletico Madrid recruits, they recruit players who are going to put their fucking bodies on the line for this team. Yep. You know, they don't get no prima donnas, none of that bullshit. They get some big cojones on that team. And you can tell, man, they defend with their lives. And now they got some really good attacking players in Joao Felix, who's been absolute class so far from what I've seen. I mean, the dude's
dribbling. He's banged in a few goals.
Yeah, he's banged in a few goals, dribbling past people. I mean, I'm excited for this game. It should be really good. And obviously, with Real Madrid, Hazard's back. So we'll see if he can make a dent in this game or some sort of influence, because he didn't really do much for the PSG game.
Yeah,
so I'm sure he wants to come up big for a big game. So
I believe he's projected to start in this game, Hazard, along with Benzema and Bale. But you can always count on, with Atletico, you can always count on Simeone getting his tactics right in these big games whether it's Barcelona or Real Madrid. And being at home, I think they're going to nick it. And Madrid is still kind of in that point in the season where they're still trying to, you know, find some consistency. So it'll be interesting to see which Madrid team shows up. Will it be the team that we saw against PSG, or will it be a team that we saw in their win against Sevilla, where they got a gritty win on the road? I don't know if that was last week or the week before, but a good segue to that would be for Barcelona, how we mentioned they're in seventh. They got to go on the road to Getafe this week. Getafe got a Europa League spot, or is it Europa League? Yeah. Yeah,
Europa League. Yeah.
Yeah, they ended up getting like a sixth or fifth place finish last year, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
And they've only got one loss on the year, four ties, Getafe. And Barcelona, we've seen they've dropped two games already. So is Messi healthy enough to play 90 minutes? I think that'll be a big factor. They got to go on the road to Getafe. It's going to be tough. Before we get to our other what to watch for, another sleeper game maybe in La Liga. It's in the wee hours tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Athletic Bilbao and Valencia, I think, could be a good game. Bilbao with a great start to the year so far, no losses, 3-3-0 up until this week. They were in first place.
Yeah, they were.
And we saw Valencia beat Chelsea in the Champions League, and, you know, they're always a team that's going to be tough to play against, so that should be a good one as well.
I didn't really think Atletico Bilbao were going to be that good because they didn't really sign any players. I think they just recruited a lot of their academy players from the reserve team.
I'll give you one guy. Is he on Valencia? Is he on Athletic Bilbao? Hold on, let me check. If this is the guy I'm thinking of, which I believe I'm correct, really exciting talent that's been with them for a while now. Yes, Iñaki Williams.
Oh, yeah, Iñaki Williams.
He's Spanish. He's super pacey and really shifty. He's only 25 still, and he's been with the club for a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
He's really exciting to watch. And they have a lot of just, like, good role-playing Spanish players who, like, maybe aren't good enough to play for the Madrids and the Barcelonas, but they have a lot of good talent still.
Fun fact about Iñaki Williams, he signed the contract extension this year up until 2028.
Holy shit. Fucking franchise player at this point.
So I didn't understand that, but I mean, fuck, he's a good player, so.
Yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, that's an honorable mention for me, and then we'll get into it when we do our predictions, but big game for your Red Devils again on Monday, actually.
Yep.
They play host to the Gunners.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. That should be an interesting game because apparently there's no more Shaw, no Rashford, and no Pogba. So, you know,
yeah,
I'm pooping my pants a little bit because it could be the theater of memes on Monday. We'll have to see.
Yeah, that'll be something we get into when we get into our predictions, but definitely going to play a factor in whatever prediction I make. That's for sure.
Yep.
But yeah, before we get to predictions, we'll talk a little bit about the good old Mickey Mouse Carabao Cup. What a competition it is. So that was Tuesday and Wednesday this week. We're not going to spend too much time on it because, let's be honest, it's a fucking Carabao Cup. Your back-to-back winners, Manchester City, get it done against Preston North End. 3-0 on the road. The quick second I'm going to spend on this game, just because I've been watching, I watched this one actually carefully because I saw who played.
Mm-hmm.
With the injuries we have to Laporte and Stones, we actually played two academy kids at center back.
Oh, nice.
Who played a lot in the competition, this competition last year as well.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't think of his name when Laporte first got injured, and I was talking about, like, options that they could have as alternatives.
Yeah.
But his name is Taylor Harwood Bellis. Hell of a name.
Mm-hmm.
Long-ass name.
He's English?
He's English. Okay. He came through the academy since he's been like 12 or something. Someone else in his family played for the club back in the day, like his grandfather or something. And he made his debut in this game as a center back. And he's supposed to be some like the next big thing for them, kind of like the next Phil Foden almost. Really composed out of the back. He's only like, he's about 6'1" in terms of athleticism, but really composed out of the back. Supposed to be a star within their academy. So and they held their own. I mean, it's Preston North End. They're a championship side.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not like League Two, like Sunday League.
No,
squad,
no, no. Yeah,
you know,
decent,
so,
decent team.
But yeah, they played well. So a good win for them, but not such a good result for other teams. We saw Spurs lost in penalties to a League Two side, Colchester United.
My God, dude. Yeah,
what were your thoughts on that,
bro? That's just a Spurs thing to do,
Spurs,
man.
Spurs gonna Spurs.
Spurs gonna Spurs, man. And hold on, I was gonna look up this lineup that they had on too. So they had, some guy named Parrott as striker. I'm guessing he's an academy player. They had Dele Alli, Lucas Moura, Victor Wanyama, Ben Davis, Kyle Walker-Peters, Sanchez, Dyer, Tanganga. I don't know, another academy player, and then some other keeper. I mean, they.
For the most part,
bro, they had like some, you know, they had some senior players on this team, and then they subbed in Christian Eriksen and Lamella, and then Son. So
yeah, Son came on the 66th minute.
Yeah, so and they lost in PKs. So I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not gonna like make a huge deal out of this. Like that's, you know, Poch out or that he's gonna get fired. But I mean, it's not a good look, my man. Not a good look.
I mean, people. There's two sides of the coin here. And this could go for Spurs fans or neutral fans. You know, the first side A is, it's just the Carabao Cup. Like now we can focus on the league and the Champions League and this and that. Or there's the side that I'm on, and I understand both sides. But the other side, which this is the side that I'm on, is it's a fucking trophy, dude. And Spurs haven't won a trophy in like ever, and. Let's be honest.
They need a trophy.
They're not going to win the league.
No.
They're not going to win the Champions League, barring... I know they got to the final last year, but...
I don't know about it.
They're inferior to so many of the teams in Champions League.
I don't know about FA Cup either.
I mean, yeah, you still have FA Cup. I mean, anyone can make a run in FA Cup, but this is a tournament very similar to the FA Cup. You might as well go and try to win it. I'm not saying play Harry Kane and play all your starters, but with the squad that they had out there... I mean, it's not that they played to lose by any means or played like they didn't care. They obviously put some of their starters out there. But I'm saying in terms of reactions from fans and anyone who follows the game, honestly, this is a fucking trophy, man. And it's one thing if it's Manchester City who's won it the last 2 years and won the fucking quadruple last year.
Yeah.
But Spurs have no trophies. You might as well...
Try to win one of those.
You might as well try... I mean... encourage them and not just like sit back and say, okay, like time to focus on other things.
Yeah,
you should be, as a fan, I think they should be disappointed rather than like shrug it off. That's my opinion.
No, I agree with you. It's just not a good look, you know, and we'll get into Manchester United's Carabao Cup game too. I mean, it's just not a good look when, you know, these top six teams, although they do play their youngsters and academy teams, the teams that they put out should still be able to easily be a league, what is it, League Two?
League Two,
League
dude.
Two team. So
all those players on that team have fucking jobs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, you know, I get it. It's like you're putting out academy players in there, but, you know, for the academy players, hey, man, like, this is your time to shine, you know? I know it's against League Two. Like, if I am an academy player playing in these games, like, you're going to give it your all. And if I'm a coach looking at these kids not being able to perform against League Two players, there's no way they're going to be able to perform in the Premier League. So, you know, so I'm sorry to say, a lot of these kids that, like, were put on for this game are not going to get looks anymore.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all. That's a great point.
You know, so...
you got fucking Paul the Plumber in the back line.
You know, like...
You fucking can't even score a goal against them.
That's what I'm saying. So, it's, you know... it is what it is, I suppose. But yeah, if I'm a Spurs fan, it's a little worrying, I suppose, right? That
it should be. Honestly, it should be. I mean, like I said, it'd be one thing if your team was averaging a trophy a year, whether it be the league or the domestic cup.
Yeah.
But you guys haven't won anything in, I don't know Spurs history that well, but a long time.
Is it a decade? Could it be a decade?
At least a decade.
Yeah, so.
So I just at least wanted to touch on that, and I know there's definitely two sides to that argument. But yeah, before we get to that United-Rochdale game, that was a cracker
of
a game.
Yeah, that was another fucking shit game.
Arsenal get it done. We got to see, I think, Tierney in this game. And Nottingham Forest is a good side. They're in first place in the championship. This Gabriel Martinelli got a goal.
He got two goals.
Callum Chambers played well when he came on, or when he played in this game. And with Maitland-Niles suspended for this game against United, I would expect Callum Chambers to get the nod at right back. But yeah, Tierney gets a start. Rob Holding and Mustafi in there. So good result.
Yeah,
convincing result for them. I know they're expected to win, but 5-0 with basically all rotated players is a good sign.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I mean, it was a good result for them. So, I mean, they had some good players in there. They had like Ozil, Torreira, Willock, Tierney's good, Holding. I mean, so it wasn't like a weak team by any means, you know.
Right.
It was a strong, but it's against a championship team too, so, you know. Mm-hmm. And they put 5 goals past them. So, I think that's a pretty
But then
that's
on
a good
Wednesday,
performance.
On Wednesday, another questionable result from United.
Yep.
Rochdale, League One, takes them to penalties.
Yeah, man. What's Rochdale? Are they League Two also?
I think
or
they're
League
One.
They're League One. Again, though, I mean, League One should not be that hard, right? Let's see this lineup again. I'm going to give you the United lineup real
Greenwood
quick.
Greenwood gets a goal in this game.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a pretty strong lineup, bro. I mean, Wan-Bissaka, Twanzebe, Jones, Rojo, all players that are capable of, you know, all like first team players, pretty much. I mean, Jones has gotten first team minutes, Rojo first team minutes, Twanzebe first team minutes, Wan-Bissaka is a regular. In the mid, Fred and Pogba, they've seen action in Europe, you know, like this isn't a, you know, and then Andres Pereira, Lingard, Chong, Greenwood. I mean, this is a strong team against a League One team, right? Would you agree with me?
Yeah, I mean, fucking Paul Pogba blended in with League One players.
Yeah,
let's just say that.
And Pogba, like, he's injured again now. So, I don't know if that was a good idea to play him this game. We need him for Arsenal. You know what? I won't even get to that right now. But anyways, I'm scared, man. Taheath Chong, I'm going to be honest with you.
Not ready,
and I don't even know if he'll make it, to be honest with you. He really struggled against a League One side, which means, like, I don't even trust them putting him on in the Premier League against a Premier League team.
And you guys are so injury-ridden right now and have so little depth that you're almost given no choice to at least to give him some minutes because he's all you really have off the bench attacking-wise.
I agree. Lingard, again, provided absolutely nothing. Besides, he got an assist, but not a lot. Greenwood was, like, probably the only shining star in that game.
Yeah.
Again, like, saving our asses, getting a goal in there. Twanzebe was captain. I like Twanzebe. Wan-Bissaka had a good game, but it's worrying, man. It's worrying that this team can't easily get past Rochdale, and you know, we're playing Arsenal on Monday, and Arsenal is fucking creaming a championship team with not really a strong lineup, to be honest, and they're putting 5 goals past them. Like, I'll tell you the stats real quick. We had 23 shots, 7 on target, 16 off target. They had 2 shots on target, and they scored 1 of them.
This will be an early tidbit, or early extra touch, I should say, since we're on the topic. Kid who scored the goal for Rochdale, kind of a cool story, was with the Rochdale Academy since he was like 12 or something.
Yeah.
He's only 16 years old. He started as a right back in this game. He scored the goal, and he had to take off of school for this game. So the following day, he went in to, like, basically make up for extra work that he missed. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's beast.
But yeah, Rochdale almost with a fucking stunner against United. They lose on pens. Yep. And then in other news, just some other results within the Mickey Mouse Cup. West Ham get spanked by Oxford after getting a win against United the following week.
Yep.
Bournemouth also lose. Aston Villa beat Brighton.
Yep, yep.
And
Sunderland beat Sheffield.
Sunderland beat Sunderland.
Yeah.
Sunderland beat Sheffield. So a few other Premier League team gets knocked out. But yeah, we'll move on from that. We didn't want to spend too much time on such a joke of a fucking competition. Yep, but it is a trophy.
And there were some interesting results. So.
Yeah, some interesting results for sure. So we at least wanted to touch on it. But we will move on to Premier League Week 7. Starting with the early game tomorrow morning, Sheffield United versus Liverpool. As of right now, Javi leads in our prediction game 28-22. He had a big week last week. But who do you have, and what is your scoreline for Sheffield in Liverpool?
I say Liverpool takes this one.
At Sheffield.
I say they win 2-0.
2-0?
Yeah. I just know Sheffield's a little pesky on defense.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's at Sheffield, so maybe Liverpool could struggle a little bit, but I still think they'll comfortably win, though, I still think. Because they haven't lost yet, so they're running on some momentum.
Yeah, yeah. There's no chance, in my mind, that Sheffield gets a point out of this game. But I think they're going to hang tight. I think Liverpool is going to get two late goals in addition to somewhere in the one in the middle there. I'm going to go 3-0 to Liverpool. Got a ton of 9 a.m. games on Saturday. First one being Bournemouth at home to West Ham. This is going to be a kind of a sneaky good game to watch.
Yeah, I think Bournemouth takes this one.
Top of the table right now, yeah, Bournemouth.
I think Bournemouth wins 2-1.
2-1 to the Cherries. Bournemouth are really good at home, I will say that.
That's what I'm saying.
And West Ham is still one of those teams where, like, I'm not sold on them, even though
they beat United.
But then they fucking turn around and they lose 4-0 to Oxford United.
So, I just don't know what this
is. Bournemouth 2-1 is a good scoreline. I'm going to go 3-2 to Bournemouth.
Okay.
They are a really good home team. And I think they're looking at a mid-table finish still, Bournemouth. At home, they're really good. On the road, they're pretty shaky. So we'll see how they fare in away games this year. But the next one up is Aston Villa and Burnley.
I think Aston Villa wins. It's at Aston Villa, right?
This could be a snooze fest.
Yeah, this could be a snooze fest. I think it might be. I say 1-1.
Yeah, this has fucking tie written all over it. But I, to try to salvage a point off of you, go with a different result here. I'm going to go Burnley 1, Aston Villa 0.
Mm. Okay.
Burnley is a fucking stingy-ass team as well. I think, shouts out to Ashley Barnes, I think he's going to score in this one and fucking win it. for, I don't even know Burnley's team nickname. But this game, next one up, the Chelsea-Brighton-Hove Albion game will be the one on that is televised of the 9 a.m.s. This is at Stamford Bridge against the Seagulls.
I think Chelsea should win this one kind of comfortably. I think they'll win. Do I see Brighton scoring? I don't think so, man. I don't know. I say 2-0 Chelsea.
2-0. Oh, no Rudiger in this one still. Christensen hurt midweek.
I just can't see Brighton scoring a goal. Unless they get like a scrappy goal. I mean,
Brighton's
that could happen.
Trash offensively. I'm going to go 4-1. I think Chelsea's attack is pretty potent right now. They had 7 against the shit-ass Grimsby Town midweek, and then they were able to score against Liverpool, and then they had 5 against Wolves. So, I got 4-1 to the Blues. Next up, Palace and Norwich City. Could be an interesting one at Palace.
I want to say Norwich is going to win this game, but they did not do good against Burnley.
Yeah, I think they're going to be up and down.
I still want to say Pookie is going to lead his team to a dub, though. So I say 2-1 Norwich.
2-1 to the Canaries.
I say Pookie grabs a goal for sure in this game.
This has tie written all over it to me. This is actually interesting. Palace, the lowest scoring team in the league, and Norwich, the most goals conceded in the league.
Oh, so, wow.
We'll see how that fares. I'm going to go 1-1.
Okay.
Palace, not that convincing at home either. Next one up. We're still fucking 9 a.m. games? Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Spurs at home to Southampton.
Oh. You know, this could be interesting game, to be honest with you. This could be a...
Southampton could quietly take points in this
game.
This
could be a weird one. You know what? Hot take. I say Southampton ties Tottenham. At Tottenham. I say... It's going to be a 2-2 tie.
2-2.
Yeah, this is my hot take for the weekend. This is my hot take.
Got to have one in there.
I just don't know.
It definitely won't. Honestly, it won't surprise me given how Palace have played this year so far. Or not Palace, Spurs. Given how Spurs have played so far, if they get a tie in this game. I'm going to have them bouncing back. I'm going to go 2-1 to Spurs. Still 9 a.m. Last 9 a.m. game. Wolves at home to Watford.
So we got the 19th Wolves versus 20th Watford.
Oh, man. You know, what a stinker.
You know what this reminds me of?
Battle in the basement.
I was going to say this reminds me of Battle of the Bastards. This is just like these two fucking shit teams right now who are really not informed. None of them have a dub so far. Wolves have 4 ties, 2 losses. Watford, opposite, 2 ties, 4 losses. You know what? I'm pulling for Wolves on this one, man. Like, they need a win. if Wolves don't get a... This is another hot take, Lee. If Wolves don't win against Watford, they're getting relegated this season. I'm telling you right now.
Wow.
I'm telling you right now. If they don't get a dub against Watford, I say they get relegated this
season.
That's
not even a hot take. That's like a scalding take.
Yeah, that's a scalding take.
Jesus.
Definitely
should be worried if you can't beat Watford.
Yeah, yes. I think it's at the Molyneux, so yeah. I think Wolves will take it, though. I think they'll win. How many goals does Watford have this season? They probably don't have
4.
A lot. 4 goals. Knowing Wolves, though, I think they'll squeak out a win 2-1.
2-1.
Yeah. I think Watford will find a goal.
Oh, man. Neither team can fucking afford to lose this game, to be honest. I can't see Wolves losing. I will not be shocked if there's a tie in this game. I'm ultimately going to go 2-0 to Wolves. Don't make me eat my words. Jesus Christ. You guys are so much better than 19th place.
I know.
But yeah, at the Molyneux, we should just relegate Watford now. I think they're fucking hopeless after losing 8-0 to City. I mean, how do you bounce back from that? Let's be honest. Yeah, I would not be surprised if Watford gets relegated this year. But then, finally moving to 11:30, Everton at home to City.
You know, I think City, to be honest, I think City's going to shit on them, to be honest. I mean, Everton lost at home 2 weekends ago to Sheffield.
Last weekend.
Or last week, it was the last weekend, 2-0 at home. So I think City should, dude, honestly, if City plays all their regular starters that they usually play.
Which I expect them to,
after the Norwich debacle that happened last weekend. I think they should win. Like, I mean, maybe Everton gets a goal, but they should win. I'll say 4-1 City.
4-1.
4-1 City. If City plays like their strongest 11, which I think they will, I don't think they'll make that mistake again, to be honestly.
Yeah.
I think they'll win 4-1.
Maybe given Everton my track record now that I fucking shit on Everton last week, Everton's probably going to come out and pull a result out of their ass. But... They are really just poorly coached.
I think they're all over the place, bro.
So unpredictable of a squad. Moise Keane is in the doghouse still. Don't understand that.
He doesn't have a goal, does he?
Still no goals. Only appeared in like a few games for notable minutes. I'm going to go 3-0.
Okay, City?
To City, okay. Yeah. Finally, moving to Sunday. We only got two games left now. Leicester at home to Newcastle. The only game on Sunday.
I think Leicester takes this one 3-1 at home.
3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like Leicester at home. I think they're a totally different squad when they play at home. I'm going to go 2-0.
Yeah, I really like Leicester's team.
James Maddison's a doubt for this game.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. So that's kind of big, but I don't think that should make a difference, though.
And finally?
Man U versus Arsenal.
Give me your take.
Oh, dude, this is so hard. Like my heart says that Man U's going to win. You know what this reminds me of? I'm going to give you a quick comparison right now. It's like, you know what this reminds me of, this game? It's like your ex-girlfriend who cheated on you. It's kind of like one of those things. It's like she comes back into your life and she tells you everything's going to be different. But you know, like your head,
you know it's
not going to be different, right? She's just going to go fuck some other guy, like, you know? My heart, though, your heart, the person's heart says, you know, things are going to be different this time. Like, we're going to get a win in the theater of dreams. Like, it's going to be different, but in reality,
it's just betrayal on the horizon.
It's just betrayal on the horizon, man. And, like, Manchester United is like an ex-girlfriend. It's like a cheating ex-girlfriend right now. Trying to come back into your life, telling you that it's going to be okay. You know what? Fuck that shit. I think Arsenal's going to win this game, to be honest with you. Because we got no Paul Pogba. Most likely no Paul Pogba. No Marshall and no Rashford. I believe that's like 100%. And if that's true, I don't know where the fuck we're going to score. I don't know how we're going to score. We struggled against...
Fucking Rochdale.
For Rochdale. And, I mean, I know Arsenal's defense isn't that good, but it's better, a lot fucking better than Rochdale's.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I hope we win. Like, hope we win. But realistically, I think Arsenal's going to win, dude. I think they're going to win 3-1.
Arsenal 3-1.
3-1. You know what? 2-1, 2-1, 2-1.
2-1.
2-1, 2-1. You know what? It is at home, and we still got our defense, but I still think Arsenal might take
over. Here's what I will say. If I could not be more confident that United will not win this game. I couldn't be more confident. So I'm going to say, if United win this game, I will do our next podcast episode in the nude.
Beast. So, I don't know if that's good for me, but like, yeah.
I don't know if that's good for you, but...
Fuck it, I'll do it too. Yeah, I'll do a nude too.
All right. But you know what? That's how confident I feel about them losing or tying this game at the most. Arsenal, shaky at the back, but... Man, they're playing miles better than United is right now.
In the attack.
Yeah. And I know, I'm going to go... Damn. You said 2-1?
Yeah, I said 2-1.
I'm going to go 2-0. I can't see United scoring in this game, given their injuries and whatnot. And I'm just going to say it right now. I don't care if you're a United fan. And Mason Greenwood could turn out to be the best player in the world, but holy shit, are you guys jumping the gun on Mason Greenwood? Already making comparisons to him with him to Robin Van Persie. Get a fucking grip. I agree.
I agree. I don't. I mean, what? How old is he again?
He's like 17.
17, 18. Dude. I mean, yeah. That's a lot. I mean, first of all, that's a lot of expectation on a kid who's 17, 18. And that. What that tells you is how shit we are. So, to be honest with you.
He's played in, like, two games.
No, I know.
And in the fucking game against... In the game against Astana. Was that who they played?
Yeah, Astana. Fucking
Kazakhstan team.
Astana and then Preston.
In Europa League. I took... When I was looking on our Twitter page, I saw United fans comparing him to Van Persie. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I don't know.
What hole did you crawl out of?
That's a questionable comparison, to be honest with you.
Dude, Jesus Christ. I'm not saying he's not going to be a good player, but holy shit, are you jumping the gun.
I mean, that just tells you how desperate we are for someone to come good for us. It's just
not
really
only
like,
is it too early, but he's playing against a team from Kazakhstan.
Yeah, I know.
And then he plays against Rochdale in midweek. And good for him. He scored 2 goals. I believe he will turn out to be a pretty good player. Maybe Rashford-esque. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. But holy shit. Let's calm down. But yeah, that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, I mean, I hope United win. And we still got our defense. But it's not going to be an easy game, bro. Especially when missing like our only really good striker and finisher in Martial. Rashford, who's been questionable when it comes to finishing, but still hell of a winger. And then Pogba, our only really good midfielder. So, I don't know, man. Yeah.
You know, we've talked about it. Last thing I'll say about this game and United and their struggles. We've talked about, you know, in past episodes, they don't have depth, they don't have this, they don't have that. One thing we haven't really talked about is their lack of a number six.
Oh yeah, yeah, I agree.
They don't have a true number six. You know, you can go through the list. Chelsea have, even though I don't like Jorginho, they have Jorginho and they have Conte, mainly Conte.
Mm-hmm.
City have Fernandinho and Rodri.
Yeah, yeah.
They saw that Fernandinho was aging. They went out and fucking already got a replacement for
him.
Yeah, yeah. Liverpool have Fabinho, who's fucking solid.
Yeah, yeah.
And who else is in there? Spurs bought and Ndombele this year, and they have Eric Dier, Wanyama.
Yeah, yeah.
All those guys can serve as number sixes. McTominay, I mean, Matic is over the hill. I'm not even going to put him in the conversation.
McTominay should be a player who's not starting every game. He should be a player who's coming off the bench. He's a squad player. Pogba, I mean, yeah, he's he can play number six, but it's like, that's not his position. He's more of a, like, box to box. I think Pogba's more box. I'm maybe leaning more towards like the attacking side. What United needed is someone who can fucking sit back, like a Conte, some type of Conte in Ndombele role, to sit back and complement that attack. Well, you know what? We needed a center attacking mid and a fucking center defense.
We've acknowledged that there's so many holes in that lineup, but we haven't acknowledged specifically that they're really missing a number six. And I really thought about that after the their last game when I was watching them, and they have no like true protector of the back line.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's
and
true.
And not to say that their back line is bad, because let's be honest, their back line is probably the best part of all three of
their
lines.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
But they don't have a number six like the rest of the big clubs in the league do.
And I'll tell you what I like with Liverpool. You know, Liverpool don't really have a true center attacking mid, but their three mids are all fucking workhorses. Like they have Fabinho, who's more of a, he sits deep, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who Henderson starts for them, who's a box-to-box. He's a workhorse, though. Who's another fucking box-to-box workhorse.
And then you can always bring Milner in there,
too. So, yeah. You know what? That just tells you sometimes you don't even need a fucking center attacking mid if your front three are good.
Right, and the front three are fucking fire, and they play a lot through the flanks, so you have the pace of Mane and Salah.
So that sometimes maybe all you need is three midfielders who are going to just fucking work in the middle.
Yeah.
You know?
It could go a long way. It really could. And with United's front three being how it is, like, even if they had those, like, a midfield like Liverpool does, you know, given that they lack a bit still up front compared to Liverpool, maybe they just have to settle for winning games, a lot of games by one goal.
I agree.
But, yeah, I just definitely wanted to acknowledge that even though we've said they have a lot of holes, they're definitely still missing a number six. And they got a lot of work to do, but we've mentioned that over and over again.
At Woodward, at Glazers.
Yeah, CC.
I'm coming for you if you don't sign. You know what? We need to make signings in January. I'm going to be honest with you. So I'm coming.
They definitely have to make at least one signing. So, I know January transfers don't always pan out, but they need to at least show the fans something.
For sure, a striker, dude.
Yeah.
A striker. So, you're on my shit list, guys, at Woodward, at Glazers. I fucking hate you. So, all right, yeah. So, we'll see how that game goes. Hopefully, we win. But, you know, like my ex-girlfriends, you just don't know. So.
That is true. So, finally, we'll move on to some extra touches that we have. We only got about three this week. The first one I will bring up. I got to find it on our Twitter here. I liked it. Go into our likes here. AC Milan and Inter Milan, will no longer be playing at the historic San Siro coming soon.
I saw something.
No longer play there anymore. They released two stadium designs that they are considering for their new stadium. It will replace the San Siro, so it's going to go exactly where the San Siro is, which is my understanding. And they have two designs, and I'll preface it with this. For those of you who do not follow the Italian League or don't watch Italian League much, the stadium infrastructure there is a lot different than it is, say, in the United States or England or Germany. The stadiums are very old. A lot of the mid-table to lower-table teams have very small stadiums.
Yep.
And they're, like I said, they're very old. And there really isn't, to my knowledge, a modern stadium in Serie A, in Italy right now. And that's just kind of how it's been. And we kind of talked about Napoli Stadium in Champions League. It's like fucking falling apart and would probably fail a lot of its building inspections and whatnot. But that's my preface to this two stadium designs that Milan has are very, very modern. Kind of renderings that you would see for like MLS expansion teams almost. Mm-hmm. This one, both of them, I think, are projected to seat 60,000.
No beast. Okay.
Which I think is right around what San Siro is now.
Yeah.
But super cool. I'm trying to read see if they have a description. One of them is called the Cathedral. The outside of it is sweet. They're both expected to cost about 650 million euros and 3 years to build. But I would really like to see that be kind of a precedent and like setting the bar and a standard for the future of Italian stadiums, because they definitely have a long way to go in terms of infrastructure and modernizing their stadiums. I think that'll be a big step for in terms of like people overseas tuning into games and stuff.
Yeah.
People don't want to watch a game when there's a fucking Olympic running track going around and you can't even tell who's in the stadium and the atmosphere of it by any means. Mm-hmm. So I think if this could be a stepping stone and kind of like showing off to being an advocate for the rest of the league, that could be big for the league. But we'll put it on our Twitter just so you guys can have a visual, but it looks freaking cool. One of the designs, it's called the Cathedral. The other is named the Rings of Milan.
Oh, beast. Okay.
Both of them are really
very
cool.
Very majestic names.
Yeah. Very cool. And they would still share the stadium as they did with San Siro.
Nice. I don't really have a lot to touch on with that. But everything you said, I mean, I agree. I think they got to get rid of those, the tracks in the stadiums. That kind of just annoys the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I agree with you. That'd be dope. And Milan, I think Milan's due for a new stadium too, to be honest with you.
They really are. So, and even though I do agree that San Siro is super historic and super cool stadium, one of the better ones, even though it's old, in Italy, it's pretty much time for almost every team, minus maybe Juventus, to get a new stadium.
Yeah.
But we got two more here. This Sunday is the last ever game in Bridgeview, Illinois, for the Chicago Fire, our beloved Chicago Fire. It's bittersweet. I'll be in attendance. I'm going to miss the stadium, but I am not going to miss fucking Bridgeview and the drive out there and everything else about
it's really fucking
the
hard
surrounding area.
Yeah, it's really fucking hard to get out there. So, am I super stoked that they're going back to Soldier Field? I guess technically no. Like, I wish we had like our own stadium in the city, but
it's a step.
But it's a stepping stone, right? And I your dad was telling me this last time I saw him. He was saying how a bunch of Chicago people don't like fucking going to Bridgeview.
No,
like people from Chicago don't want to go out to the suburbs to watch a fucking soccer game.
Yeah.
Rather fucking watch a game in Chicago where they're at. So, and suburbs people are gonna definitely make the trek to go over to watch the game. So I think this is a good stepping stone. Hopefully, there's some sort of like plan in the works of where we want to like put a new stadium for the Fire. But yeah, it's exciting times. Last two games, we need dubs for both of these to make the playoffs. So yep. I guess I would say another ones to watch is these Fire games.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, a Chicago fan, because this is big time right now. If we want to make the playoffs, we got to win. We got to win out these last two games.
Yeah, they need to win both and hope for the New England Revolution, who also play this weekend, to tie or lose, to have a chance. So two big games for the Fire coming up. Decision day is approaching for MLS with the playoffs. There's only one spot left in the East for the playoff spots, and I think two or three spots are still left in the West just because it's so fucking tight. But yeah, a couple more things about Bridgeview, man. You know, it was built in a time where it was almost like the best decision, because back then when it was built, it opened in 2006, there weren't a lot of soccer-specific stadiums around. Columbus had one. I think Colorado had one. Maybe a couple other teams. And Columbus and Colorado, both of their stadiums are not in the urban core. They're not downtown. They're a little bit off the beaten path. And so ownership at this time were just putting stadiums and picking locations that was A, financially reasonable to build, and where there was fucking space.
Yeah.
But now you've got teams like Seattle and Atlanta and LAFC. Cincinnati's putting a downtown stadium. Putting these, and I know Seattle plays in the football stadium, but they fucking fill that shit because it's fucking downtown and they did things right. Now you're in a different time where if you're not playing downtown, you're really shooting yourself in the foot. And you got all these teams with all these ambitions, Atlanta, LAFC, both beautiful stadiums downtown, easily accessible for fans. Times are different now, and this is a step that the Fire definitely need to take to basically try to keep up with the league, and it should be a stepping stone. It'll be amazing if and when they build their own stadium that's accessible to both suburban people and the people who live in the city, because Chicago's a fucking big city, man. There's like
big market.
There's like 3+ million people that live in the city alone.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they can promote the shit out of this club, combined with a good product on the field and this move to Soldier Field, they could really rise from the ashes, pun intended. but they needed to do it. They needed to
do it. It was necessary, bro.
It was a pain in the ass to get there. There's nothing to do before or after the game. And you're in a time where people want that in a game day experience.
Oh, yeah.
I'll use the Cubs as an example. People want to go and drink before and after the game. They want to have a nice lunch or a dinner before or after the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't do that in fucking
Bridgeview,
man. I've gone to the same damn Portillo's, I can't even tell you how many damn times, in over the last decade. And I'm fucking sick of it. And Portillo's is damn awesome. Good.
They built a hotel and a gas station over
literally
there?
Literally this year when we're fucking leaving.
So like,
it took 12 years to do that.
Yeah, dude.
Over 12 years.
I mean, yeah, bro. That shit was awful. I'm going to be honest with you. And, I mean, we won't stay too much longer on this. But, like, when we went to Canada, to Toronto, you know, there was, like, within less than, like, 10 minutes walking distance from the stadium, there was, like, this little, like, I don't even know how to call it. What would you describe? Like a neighborhood type area with all these bars, like different like food places, restaurants to go to. I mean, it's just like a nice place to congregate before the game.
Yep.
And then all you got to do is walk 8 minutes and then you're at the stadium over there. And then right in front of the stadium, there's a train station. It's just, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yep.
And, you know, you got to make, you know, obviously you got to have a good like end product on the field. But you also got to make, you know, it's about the experience, man. Like, you think,
really
like, and look, I'll tell you about the Cubs games. Like, okay, look, I don't really like baseball, and some people love baseball. But I think for the average person, baseball, let's be honest, it's not the most interesting sport to watch, right? And, like, I won't say anything else on it. It's just not the most interesting sport to watch, let's be honest. But what makes it fun is the fucking experience, man. Yeah. You know, it's the experience. And, I mean, that's what the Fire got to do, man. They got to bring some sort of, like, good experience. You got to make it fun to go to the games, you know? Like, you got to make it, like, you got to have, like, some sort of, like, atmosphere. enthusiasm. And you know what? At Bridgeview, it just wasn't happening, man. It was, for, I guess, for a little bit when we were winning. But then when you're not winning, what the fuck? Like, you know, it's like, who the fuck wants to go, you know?
Right. So, and they dug themselves a hole, and then it was hard to get those fans back. And once they started losing, and you're like, I don't want to fucking make that drive out there to see a losing team. And they never really started winning again consistently, so there was no reason for those fans to come back. Now you just got your few diehards, and hopefully the ones that the OG fans, some of them that went on hiatus, could come back out of the woodworks here for the move back. But last extra touch I have, also staying with MLS, kind of a cool little thing that happened midweek. Chris Wondolowski, MLS's all-time leading goal scorer, who just surpassed Landon Donovan. He was suspended for their San Jose Earthquakes game midweek against, who the fuck do they play? Philadelphia Union. And he had a red card on the weekend, last weekend. So he was suspended for this game. So instead of watching the game from his house or in the press box, he decided he would sit with the supporters group behind the goal and just be a fan for the game.
I saw it. Didn't he like take his shirt off
or something? Yeah, they scored, and he took his shirt off and was like whipping it around, and that's just great to see, man. He's been with San Jose for a long time, I think just about his whole career, and that's the type of guy, I know he's at the end of his career now, but that's the type of guy you just need in your team, who's passionate, loves the club, shows enthusiasm for the team, whether he's part of the 18 or not, and is just going to give everything for his club, you know? And that was just cool to see. That's on MLS's Twitter page, and I'm sure if you haven't seen it on social media, we'll put it on the Twitter for you guys to watch. But you got anything else?
Real quick, extra tidbit, FIFA 20 is out now.
Hell yeah.
And I'm about to play the shit out of it tonight.
Until your eyes shut.
Until my eyes bleed, and probably this whole entire weekend, to be honest with you. Real quick, maybe we'll do this. I don't know, like, I mean, we also, quick shout out, we got over 100 followers on Twitter. Thank you to you guys.
Big milestone.
Yeah, big milestone. Thank you to everyone who's supported us so far. We appreciate you. You guys are fucking beast, and we love you. Maybe we'll tweet it out and we'll talk about it in the pod, but we got a pro club scene going on. Maybe if anyone who has a PS4, any of you listeners who have a PS4 and want to play some FIFA 20 with us,
hop on.
We'll put it on later on once we get it going. But our team is called Las Frutas, and we're looking to scout some players for our team. So you know, any of you listeners who listen passionately and have a PS4, we'll let you know. We'll let you know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm excited to play. I haven't played it yet. We're about to hop on here as soon as we get off. So, actually, that's probably gonna be right now because I don't think we got anything more to say.
No, yeah. That's it.
But yeah, enjoy the weekend, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend. Shout out to our beloved Chicago Fire. Hopefully they can keep their season and playoff hopes alive. But other than that, we will see you guys next episode next week.
All right. Deuces, guys. Peace.